rats dead.
Rats?
Yeah, big ones.
Brown furry rodents.
What about the RUSs?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Don't be so modest. You're a rat, for Pete's sake.
What are you telling us? We're trapped like rats?
No, rats can't be trapped this easily. You're trapped like carrots.
Gross.
You're listening to the Rosie on the House Show with the experts from Blue Sky Pest Control. Call 1-800-ROSIE-4U.
Welcome back to the pest control focused topic here at Rosie on the House with Blue Sky Pest Control. And again, if you're in the market for pest control, y'all are running a special right now just for Rosie on the House listeners.
That's correct. Until noon today, if you call up 480-635-8492, you get an initial service for $49. That's normally $125 at least. And that's when you join onto a regular treatment plan.
Fantastic. We're talking about infestation and invasions of the roof rat. What you say was only spotted here in 2001. And look at the size industry it's become, fighting roof rats. Do y'all do pigeons?
Commercially we do, but not residentially.
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it?
They're like flying rats.
They are flying. Yeah, they are. That's what I thought of. And then scorpions. I mean, I've lived in my house 30 years. We never saw a scorpion for the first 25 years we were in that home. And now we're seeing a couple a year. You know, it's peculiar. And I'm not the only one that's reporting that. What's causing this cycle of population? And then bed bugs. I thought bed bugs were wiped out like, you know, measles.
they were for 30 plus years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
now with scorpions, like, for example, I've dealt with the same thing where I live. It was a brand new neighborhood about 8 to 10 years ago. And when it first was built, you know, nobody was having scorpions.
Yeah.
Except right near the entrance. They had installed some nice palm trees.
Yeah.
The people right next to the entrance near the palm trees were seeing them almost immediately. And I joked with my wife, I'm like, it'll be about 3 or 4 years until they kind of, you know, keep populating and keep reproducing. Sure enough, about 4 years into it, we saw our first one.
I'll be darned.
And, you know, obviously we do stuff proactively to keep them to a low minimum.
Hey, we've got lots of people with lots of pests on hold. I had John call in and was asking the difference between having a frame home and a block home. Do you need to be more observant in a frame home as opposed to block?
For termites.
For termites? No,
yes,
actually.
I'm sorry, termites.
That's actually a common, you know, mistake people make, because the main thing that they're going for is the softwood, like your baseboards and I'm going blank on it right now.
Jams, casings, yeah. Mm-hmm. Moldings.
So now they can go for 2x4s.
Yeah.
But they love the soft stuff, and cosmetically, it's not going to be very nice in your home to have that all eaten up.
Yeah. Okay.
What about drywall? I mean, it's held together with paper. Do they chew the paper off the drywall?
The paper, yeah. Mm-hmm. The paper portion, but they don't mess with the drywall.
Now, with all that said and done, they're not going to eat the block. So the structure of your home is pretty sound for the walls.
Correct.
You would just have the aggravation of having them on the interior.
However, I mean, you do have the trusses up in the mm-hmm. attic, so you don't want those.
Will they travel that far? Will a mud tunnel go 8 foot high?
Oh, absolutely.
It will.
They go up there all the time, and then that's why you see it's very common to see the drop tubes coming out of the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they got up in the attic, and then the drop tubes is because they're trying to go back to the ground, because they have to go back to the ground every 24 hours just to have enough moisture,
mm-hmm.
and so it's very common.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get to Goodyear. Bonnie's been waiting for a good long time. She's been very, very patient, and she's got a problem I'm sure she'd love to have an answer to. Good morning, Bonnie. How can we help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a problem with mice, I believe. It started last year. I had seen a mouse coming out on my patio through the wall, and it was like halfway in the wall and halfway out. And needless to say, only half of them came out. He was, I guess, too fat. But I wasn't concerned until I saw another one this year by my water fountain outside, and it was the same situation where he's halfway in and halfway out. And then my dog got a hold of him, and he's no longer. So my concern is I don't see him in the house. My house is only going to be 5 years old this December, so I don't see it. Don't see why I've got mice at all. They're not in my house, but I'm concerned they're inside my walls, because I know I've seen mice run outside my patio onto the rocks. I just recently opened up my grill, and needless to say, there's all kinds of mice poop in it, and I'm surprised to see that. But I'm concerned they're inside my wall, and I have dogs, so if I have them put anything out, I'm concerned of their safety.
All right.
Outside. But, you know, I'm concerned they're more in my walls.
And, well, let's see.
And in the winter, don't they, what do they do in the winter? They're never around during the winter.
Well, they move from inside your walls to under your bed. I'm just teasing. Bonnie, what can we do for someone that's suspicious? They're seeing them in the barbecue. They're seeing them in and around the fountains, the landscaping and stuff like that. The probability that they're spending some amount of time in her house is almost inevitable.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I was just at a house not too long ago that they didn't even realize it had mice, and they saw something blur across, so they called us out. We went out to the garage, didn't see any signs, weren't seeing any droppings, so I don't even know where, you know, they were hiding somewhere to where you couldn't even see the droppings visibly. We put out, you know, several traps, and, you know, we caught a couple, and then we kept putting them out because we were like, well, if this is a female, she could have had a litter of 6 to 10, and she has multiple litters a year, so they can reproduce really fast. So it can go from you don't think you have anything to a lot of mice really quick.
So at Bonnie's house, it would be a matter of setting the little black box traps that y'all set around homes?
That's a part of the process.
Okay.
Where it's called a bait station.
Okay.
And it's a tamper-resistant bait station to protect, you know, pets and everybody from them. And then also what we use inside is something very low toxicity. And if you got to use it correctly, because, for example, the top reason why there's problems out there is because a lot of times homeowners will go and buy rodenticides and put them around and don't use them properly. They don't know which active ingredient is the lowest toxicity. And sometimes what they're using is kind of hot and can be... So you got to be careful around with pets and so forth. You got to know what you're doing.
Oh, okay. Well, Bonnie, again, the number at Blue Sky, Nate?
480-635-8492, and we'll be happy to help you in any way we can.
And we've got black widow spiders. We've got detecting termites with sonar. Let's go to the sonar one there.
That is an interesting question. Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
So I know there's a company in town here, and if you go out to their website, it's extremely interesting. I'm an engineer, so I'm a high-tech guy, but they do termite detection using both infrared and sonar, and it's pretty interesting. What do you know about that? What do you think about that? It looks like they can find termites that, you know, there's no mud tubes, you know, that are coming from your ceilings or anything yet, but they can find them between the, you know, between like your paint and what have you and the sheetrock and stuff.
What do y'all know about that?
Yeah, there is technology out there that does that, and it can, if used properly, it can be very effective in finding them. But what we found is it's not, you don't have to have that to do it properly. If you know what you're looking for, if you know how to inspect properly, if you know how to look for conducive conditions, because there's, like, even when people don't have mud tubes around their home, we can find signs inside a home where we can tell that they have termites or whatnot. So
for sure. Okay. Well, let's go to black widow spiders. That's one we haven't touched. That's one bug we haven't touched yet today. So we're going to run up to Payson and talk to Rita. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning.
What are you fighting up there in Payson?
Well, we just bought a house, and it's in town. It's not out in the woods, but it's in a somewhat wooded area. And I'm just finding lots of black widow spiders around the barbecue and around the foundation of the house.
How would a homeowner deal with black widow spiders?
They're very common this time of year, especially because they've been reproducing, and it's just the ideal climate for them right now. Now we have them year round, but the population just explode this time of year. So, you know, one thing you can do is, you know, you can actually go around, and if you vacuum all up and then dispose of the vacuum bag, you can do that. Or if you use something, you know, make sure you wear some gloves and treat up where they're hiding, because You can easily tell a black widow by their web.
Yeah.
Their webs are almost always close to the ground, within a foot or two of the ground. Most of the time, I've seen a few exceptions to that over the years, but not many. And it's very irregular. And if you like try to break it with like a pin or a little stick, it'll sometimes crackle. It's because it's very strong material. The material that black widows actually make their webs with is one of the strongest materials on the earth, actually.
And it burns pretty good.
No, I haven't done that.
Take a little propane plumber's torch and just You know, anytime I'm going to crawl underneath a crawl space or go into an area I highly suspect will have spider webs, I take the flame in front of me first, and you can just see, it's like little flares.
And what fire extinguisher do you recommend?
Well, you have to be very judicious and hold everything far away, but it just kind of clears the area out in front of you so you're not pulling the spider webs off your face and out of your hair and the back of your shirt.
That actually reminds me of a story my brother told me. They were having cockroaches in an apartment he lived in when he was younger. And they came home one night, turned on lights, and the cockroaches scattered. And what they did is they put a can of, like, hairspray and a lighter right near the front door. And they'd grab it real quick, and they started, like, torching it. But they were so focused on torching the cockroach, they didn't realize it was running towards a bedspread. And then all the bedspread caught on fire. So then all of a sudden, it got real fun real quick.
So pest control by fire, not one y'all recommend?
Yeah, you got to be careful.
We don't recommend that.
You don't recommend that particular method. All right. So there are some products. Black widows are going to be tough. What's the statistic? Is that an urban myth that no matter where you are on the globe, you're never more than 3 feet away from a spider? Is that true?
I've heard
land
that.
Anyway, I don't
know for sure.
In land? Well, yeah, on land. Okay. All right.
I think to your point, though, Rosie, I mean, insects in general, spiders and all types of insects, you're talking about the most successful living organisms that they're going to be anywhere we are. And you talked about, black widows can be tough to control. So you have to be thorough. Can you apply products properly and in a way that's going to be perfectly fine for your pets and family and in the environment? You absolutely can. But sometimes what happens is that you have to know where to look. You have to know where to treat properly. You have to make sure that you are properly identifying the bug that you're actually going after, and so you can treat appropriately. Because sometimes what happens is that, you know, people will go down and they'll buy a broad label spray, and then they'll still have a problem depending on the type of pest that they're going after. And it's not that they're not trying. It's not that they're not trying to, you know, effectively treat by following the directions. It just different bugs are going to respond differently to different types of products.
It's going to be one of the first questions I ask my guardian angel when I meet him is, how many scorpions, black widow spiders, and brown recluses did you have on my body you didn't let bite me? Because I know all the places I've crawled and remodeling attics and everything. I know I've had them on me. I just have been very fortunate not to end up at the hospital anywhere.
Another thing with black widows, like, I can think of an instance where we had a house and we were there because they had some black widows, and they're like, yeah, I know they're here and here. And so they showed us where they were seeing them. And then in addition to those two ones that they knew about, we found 5 to 6 more in other places they weren't even aware. They're like, oh, it's even worse than I thought. So
all right.
They're very prolific here in Arizona.
They are. We'll be right back, y'all. Hang on.